It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment,
food,
topics, automotive topics,
relationships.
It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
And it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas throughout most of the country. Hi, I'm Spencer Tracy, one of your hosts for the BTS Mix Show.
And I am Doc Hancock in the balmy New York today. It's like 50 degrees. People are running around in their swim trunks. It's crazy.
Oh, gosh. It blew through here, I guess, last night. We went from like 70, 68 degree weather down to 25 for a high. Wind chill factors down in the single digits. I talked to a guy in Minnesota earlier today. They had like a 70 degree spread on their temperature from a high of about 30 to 40 degrees yesterday down to a wind chill factor of minus 25 today. So brr.
Oh, geez. You know, and you can just set your clock to getting sick with this kind of weather. It just drives me crazy. It's like, if you're going to be cold, be cold. I don't mind cold weather. Just be cold. Be cold from day to day. Not 23 one day and then 85 the next day. And then we'll go back down to 15 and then the wind will pick up and blah, 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 blah. Drives me absolutely insane. I'm going to write a letter to whoever creates the weather. Tell them to cut this out.
You can't help but just feel like you're getting sick with the hot and the cold and the hot and the cold and the hot and the cold and in and out. So if you are dealing with this type of weather, hey, we have sympathy for you. And of course, hang in there. For those of you without power, you're probably not getting the show, which we feel bad about it, but you'll eventually get it. So we still feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not about all the ice, but certainly that you'll be listening to the show.
Yes, exactly. And what a show we have today. We'll tell you more about our Secret Squirrel special guest coming up in a little bit, Doc.
That's right. And I'll preface it with saying Spencer is the man because he landed, I think, what is the hugest interview, the biggest, grandest, most amazingly spectacular interview that we've ever had on this show. And it's very, very exciting. So please stay tuned for that. You don't want to miss it.
Well, a few updates from last week. 10 days or less away from Christmas right now. And we hope that you're getting prepared if you celebrate Christmas. So many things have happened this week. I feel like I haven't had any sleep at all. And then there is some good news, though. You know, we talked last week about my daughter's little boyfriend who I am having a problem with because he keeps breaking the rules that we talked about in the last show. Well, evidently, that's over with. Yay. But then she came in just a second ago and said, he's asked me to the prom. I said, the answer is no.
Yeah, that's a never-ending story right there. Man. Teenagers, you know, you give them an inch, they walk all over you, and they seem to really keep going. I was the same way. I went out with this girl on and off for 4 years, and it was the dumbest mistake I've ever made in my life. And, you know, if I could go back and redo it again, man, I would have changed a whole lot of stuff. But for some reason, it's like that, you know, what is that game? What is that little thing? The paddle with the stretchy ball on it keeps bouncing off the paddle, keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Same concept.
I think it's proven. I mean, they clinically prove it as brain damage for teenagers. Now, I'm not slamming teenagers. It's just that part of making good decisions in your brain hasn't formed yet. It doesn't work. And I know I've been there. It took a long time for my brain to start to function. So you're clinically brain damaged if you're not listening to your parents and taking their advice. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, but you know what? On the flip side of that coin, looking at it as a glass is half full, And I can say this, you know, as crappy as those 4 years were in my high school career, you know, I mean, I certainly had a lot of good times, but I also learned a huge lesson. And I think, you know, this sort of blind stupidity is okay so long as a certain amount of sage wisdom comes out of it, if you will. And I think, I grew up a whole lot during those 4 years. And, you know, as much as I wish I could go back and change stuff, you know, it also gave me important life lessons that I still carry with me today. So that's really important.
That's a good outlook on that. Because a lot of people, though, they don't take that sage wisdom. They go and they make the same mistakes over and over. So here's hoping that everyone learns from their mistakes, as I didn't most of the time. All right. Well, with that being said, let's talk about the BTS Mix Show number 38.
This is the BTS Mix Show.
The chances that it will change your ability to have children are less than one in a million.
With your hosts, Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
That's right, and boy, oh boy, is this a big one. This will forever go down in the history books. Mind you, children, BTS Mix Show 38. This is going to be huge. And I think that brings us right up to our interview right now. And this is incredibly exciting. And I'll do a brief introduction. And Spencer actually had the privilege of speaking with the gentleman. I unfortunately had to miss it because of a stupid day job. I wish I could have made it. Our guest graduated in 1997 from Brown University with degrees in mathematics and computer science and a minor in theater arts. He has a 180-plus IQ. I think my IQ is like three or four.
That's like more than triple the show hosts for this show's IQ.
Oh, man, tell me about it. It's incredibly degrading. When he was 12, he was on the cover of the August 31st, 1987 issue of Time magazine titled Those Asian American Whiz Kids. Beside being fluent in Japanese, Spanish, and English, he is also into kendo, the Japanese sword fighting, where he carries the rank of Shodan. Playing video games, watching and writing romantic comedies, playing the piano, and singing. Man, this guy gets around. His portrayal of Hiro Nakamura earned him a Golden Globe Award nomination that year in the Best Supporting Actor on a TV Series category, and he recently starred in Get Smart. We're very pleased to welcome Mr. Masi Oka to the show.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having us, and happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you, too. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Sweet. Are you shooting, or is shooting wrapped on Heroes for this season?
We have this week, and then we're going to go on hiatus for about 2 weeks.
Masi, how has the character of Hiro Nakamura changed your life?
Pretty much everything. The biggest thing is it gave me the opportunity to meet so many different people, whether it's like the creative idols that I've idolized growing up, or my brothers and sisters on set, and as well as the fans all over the world. It's without Heroes, I would have never been able to meet certain people I've been met halfway around the world. So I've been very fortunate to have that opportunity.
In an earlier interview, you said you're really pumped about working with George Takei. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and what you're looking forward to in the next season?
Absolutely. George is one of those classic Asian American icons. He paved the way for many of us Asian American actors. So just having the opportunity to work with him was such an amazing opportunity and experience. And hopefully we'll see more of him again next volume. Unfortunately, he is quote unquote killed in the current storyline, but he always has a way of making appearances here and there. So you never know.
Seeing George in there is always a lot of fun. What were you doing before you were cast in Heroes? I mean, you've got 180-plus IQ, so you actually had some great technical jobs you were doing before this, weren't you?
Yes, I worked for Industrial Light and Magic, which was up in San Francisco, which is a George Lucas special effects company. And so I did that, as well as doing a lot of smaller roles. I've done a lot of recurring roles over like 8 TV shows. So, kind of paid my dues and doing all the small.
I was looking through your resume. You sure have. You've been everywhere, even a 20-second spot in Austin Powers.
Yes. Cool. And that was a lot of fun. That was my first movie role, so it was just a great experience to be on that set.
Well, now this season on Heroes, it seems to have gotten a little bit darker.
Yes, absolutely. It's about the moral choices that everyone has to face, and the repercussions. Based on those choices.
Your character is my wife and I fell in love with your character from the very first episode.
Thank you very much.
He's just got a very innocent, naive naivete about himself. And are they going to take you darker in the next season or so?
Well, we saw him in like a future episode in season one, and I think that's kind of the juxtaposition of that good and evil, which is kind of cool. So, but I think it's a slow change, because once you go that way, I think it's hard to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important for everyone to take their time and be cautious about when we do that.
Now, you mentioned the cast and crew earlier. I mean, it looks like it's just a tremendous amount of fun to do the show.
Absolutely. The crew in particular spends so much time. They're like hardworking, overworked, underpaid folks, and they're literally like my family. And the cast. I hang out so much outside this is like a cast I really enjoy hanging out with outside of work as well. So
now, earlier in the year, I guess the writer's strike kind of put everything on hold. Do you think that kind of took the momentum out of a lot of shows this season?
Oh, absolutely. I think it took the momentum of just television in general. Unfortunately, you know, it has some repercussions. Because before the strike, you know, it was kind of the golden era of TV. Everybody was, like, so up about it, and it was on the rise. And then, unfortunately, the strike kind of was a momentum killer.
Well, we're glad you're back.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and we're just very happy to be back as well.
Masi, your character has the ability to manipulate space and time, which is a pretty cool superpower. So I'm getting, I'm jumping to the geeky side of me right now asking these questions. What do you think would be the coolest superpower? Do you think yours is, or do you like someone else's?
You know what? I mean, of course, Peter and Siler's superpower is amazing, you know, where you could just suck out everyone else's and have all the superpowers in the world. But, you know, for this holiday season, I kind of, like, I'm wishing, like, super metabolism because I'm eating a little too much.
I've got that problem, too, and I'm not going to talk about it. And let's talk a little bit more about your technical stuff that you've been doing. I mean, a lot of the movies that people would be very familiar with, you did a lot of special effects on, including Pirates of the Caribbean, Perfect Storm, and some effects in Star Wars prequel movies.
Yes. I did a lot of the programming on them, and I wrote the programs that created the effects. So, like, you know, some of the water stuff on Perfect Storm, the asteroid sequences and in Star Wars. It was definitely a lot. I love using that side of the brain as well, so they're both my passion.
Sweet! Well, since you are on the cutting edge of technology and the aspect of movies and things, is there anything we could look forward to graphically? I mean, do you see anything down the road that's really going to make a difference in the way movies look?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's these days, it's all about just trying to get it faster and cheaper and streamlining the process. The technology is moving a little bit slower because we move very quickly, but I still think the holy grail is human, creating that perfect human. Because ironically, the perfect human is the most imperfect person ever to create.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can't make the perfect skin. It's everything's so complex, and the things that we take for granted, you know, just simply walking. You know, the audience is the biggest judge of that. They know how humans should walk. So if you try to do it digitally and it's not perfect, even the slightest thing that's different, people are going to take notice.
Which kind of leads me into the next question, because you're talking about the perfect human. Heroes deals a lot with and has a lot of issues concerning genetic manipulations of humans. How do you feel about that personally?
No, that's an interesting issue, you know, and I know there's some religious arguments as well in terms of manipulations, but I don't know. I think science is important, because without science, you know, for instance, my mother was recently diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's a survivor thanks to modern medicine. And there's definitely a place for modern medicine and trying to help things out. And you never know what these kind of research can lead to. Because what might be thought as one solution, you know, to a problem could be a solution to something completely different. Who knows, you know, by trying to do some genetic research, you might find answers to, you know, whether it's cancer or, you know, or AIDS or any other kind of, you know, terminal disease, or not terminal, but, you know, a very heavy disease. So I think it's important to promote as much research as we can.
Awesome. Great answer. A friend of mine, Johnny, emailed me the next question. Do you have any bribe to any conspiracy theories, anything that you're kind of going, wow, that's kind of cool. I want to find out more about that.
No, really. I mean, you know, we hear the only conspiracy theory I can think of is maybe actually because we work in the media. You know, sometimes the news kind of portrays things in a way that we want to hear things. They filter out things. That might be the only thing that's kind of interesting to see. It's like, oh, do we really get to hear, you know, the whole truth? But, of course, you know, I think that might be just having a really active imagination and watching too many movies and TV shows. So your imagination goes lost. Like, oh, maybe the government's actually doing something completely different, you know, behind the scenes and using the media as a cover. You know?
It's like, yes, I am paranoid, and yes, they are out to get me.
Exactly. The truth is out there.
You're an avid collector of manga, too. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, I love the, especially the modern ones with Urasawa Naoki. You know, I think Monsters, Fantastic, 20th Century Boys. You know, there's some really great stuff out there.
Hey, by the way, of course, Odessa, Texas was where season one started for Claire Bennett, Hayden Panettiere, and you actually made a fictional trip here yourself. I had people asking me, so where's this Burnt Toast Diner at?
Well, right now it's on the stages of Sunset Gower where we shoot, and it's actually been torn down. It's been used as the Irish pub, the pub in Japan, and just most recently for India. So, but you know, it's a fictional you know diner in Odessa. So it's really in our world.
Well, that's going to make everybody here sad. Oh,
yeah,
that's all right. A lot of the diners are burnt toast anyway, so it's okay.
Yeah.
A couple of more questions for you, and I'll let you go. What do you think are going to be some of the most challenging things we as a species of humans is going to face in the next few years?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. But right now, we have to face the economy, and I think the global warming is definitely something to come. You know, you have to be careful of. I think the biggest challenge is just ourselves. To be honest with you, we as a race go through so many things, and first of all, we have a lot of we need to maintain that peace and harmony, and we're treating the environment poorly. But it's definitely just a fight, of who we are in general. I think that's the biggest challenge we have to face. So just not succumbing to whatever around us and fighting ourselves, I think it's the biggest challenges we have.
Well, so, Masi, tell us, what projects are you going to be working on in the future? What can we look forward to seeing you in?
A lot of stuff, I'm kind of like working a lot behind the scenes these days, so I'm having a great time producing and directing stuff. I mean, nothing I can talk about right now because everything is in the development stage, but you might find me more doing things behind the scenes.
Fun stuff. Can't wait. I'll be checking IMDb to see what you're doing.
All right.
Masi, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a real honor to have you on here. I'm a big fan, love the show, and just think you do a great job. And again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and happy holidays.
Hi, this is Spencer Tracy along with my partner, Doc Hancock. And we're the hosts of the BTS Mix Show on BelowTopSecret.com, along with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Martin Bain and Homer Fife with the Above Politics Show have all made it extremely easy to subscribe to all our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, when clicked, will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, your subscription helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with host Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. Deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Homer Fife. And deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, Doc Hancock. And would you please remember to star, flag, and dig the show you're listening to right now. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network, LLC.
You're listening to the BTS Mix Show with Spencer and Doc.
They're together on Christmas, they're fat-free, and they're 10% alcohol by volume.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I am Doc Hancock, and man, what a terrific interview that was. Spencer, nice work there, and what a tremendous privilege to have him on the show. That's fantastic.
You know, I was telling Masi that my wife and I just, I mean, when he first came on, when he first portrayed Hiro Nakamura on Heroes, we just fell in love with the character. The innocence of him, the naivete, which we kind of talk about, naivete, can I say that? Is that the right word? Whatever. Yeah, Feliz Navidad. That he had, we really enjoyed just the way he portrayed him. He was just the most lovable character on the show. And I think that's what makes him one of everybody's favorites on the show. And just a nice guy. And, of course, just super smart. Oh, my gosh. I'm not even going to go into how many times I went, what am I going to ask this guy that's not going to sound stupid? Too late.
First words out. Don't, damn it. I've already messed it up. A tremendous interview, Spencer, and you know, what a great guest to have on. And, you know, Heroes is just, it's one of those shows that rarely comes along that truly has a little something for everybody in it. I mean, there are those, who are kind of on the science fiction end of things, who like a good thriller or a good kind of mystery, kind of science fiction-y story. Then there are those who like, strong plot-driven television shows. And there are those, you know, who like good character development and having strong, well-rounded characters. And it's one of those shows that comes along every once in a blue moon that seems to have all of those elements. And there's really not a group of people who are like, ah, you know, the show's stupid. The show is just so well-rounded, and it's so well-produced, and it's so well-done, and it just keeps evolving into this new story. It's kind of similar. I think of it a lot like Lost in that aspect, because it truly does have so many different, you know, diverse elements to it. And it's just a terrific show and a real pleasure to have him on.
We've got some other topics we need to cover on BelowTopSecret.com. One of those is in the automotive discussion forum, which we sometimes hit. Which sports car are you? Now, this is a little bit of an older post, but, Doc, I wanted to visit this because it gives me an excuse to talk about a sports car.
Yeah, and let's face it, any excuse either of us can get to talk about sports cars is probably a good thing. So it poses a question. DJ Temp posts this, and it's very simple. Which sports car are you? So if you could be any sports car in the world that you know, either that you would want to be, you know, fantasy wise, or, you know, maybe a sports car that describes you. I, for example, would probably be like a 94 Fiat, the way I'm feeling today. So I'll stick with 94 Fiat. Mr. Tracy, what would your car be?
Oh, I know what my car would be. But before I get there, I'll share that in a minute. I just wanted to say that you will probably love the first poster right after the original poster, who was DG Tempe. Umbrax has a great picture of a ninja on his page, Doc. So I just wanted to share that with you. You need to check that one out.
Oh, I know. Well, not only is it a ninja, but it's a ninja next to a sports car. And the only thing cooler would be if the ninja were driving the sports car, although I really can't imagine that because I don't think ninjas travel by car. It wouldn't be very, very stealthy.
He could drive the car. You just never see him do it.
And be like, there's no one driving that car. Run!
Lysergic posts a nice Ferrari. We've got some other great cars on here. Ford Mustang. And, you know, now that you've kind of wound me up, I just wanted to touch on this thread because there was a great article. I think it was in Car and Driver or something along those lines, but they were comparing the Mustang Cobra with the new Dodge Challenger. And I got to tell you, the Mustang, okay, they really haven't done anything with the body style recently that just really grabs me. Now, not that the Cobra, you know, putting out 400 or 500 horsepower isn't cooler than all get out. But to bring back a body style in a very updated form the way Dodge has done, oh, man, it is a gorgeous-looking car, and I'm, like, drooling just looking at this new sports car.
Yeah, I've never been that excited to see a car. Like, I'm fairly into cars, but, man, that thing is a work of art. The interior on it is the sweetest, smoothest-looking thing I've ever seen in my entire life, and what's great about it is they've brought back some stylistic elements, you know, from the original model, which was, you know, hands down just a really cool looking car, and they've put a modern flair to it, but they've kept that style, you know, which is just so classic and so unbeatable. You know, they really don't make cars like that anymore, those old really cool, you know, tricked out and muscle cars, you know, that people spend so much money now trying to recreate and rebuild and refit. And man, this thing just looks so incredible. I want to go out and buy one, but I'm poor, so I can't.
Yeah, it's like 40 grand for this car, but with all the options and everything else, it would be nice. You know,
that's without an engine.
You know, the last time I got kind of excited about a sports car was when Chevrolet decided they were going to remake the Camaro. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And going back to that late 60s style of the Camaro and then featuring it in the Transformers movie, I was like, wow, that looks like a great vehicle. I got to say, the Dodge Challenger, right up there in my top three that I would love to have in my garage.
Oh, yeah. It's just a smooth-looking car, and it's powerful, too. It's got a V8 in it, something, you know, 400-and-something horsepower. And, you know, man, it can kick some butt, too. So, you know, if any of you have some money out there and pick one up, let me know how it goes because I'd love to hear how it drives. And if you want to come pick me up, we can drive around New York for a little while and, you know, wink at the ladies, so to speak. That'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. We'll take my wife with us. I'm sure she'll really appreciate that.
Either that or we'll go do donuts in the Walmart parking lot. Woohoo!
Yeah, man. Woo! Crank it up.
All right. Well, if you'd like to post some of your favorite automobiles or sports cars, head on over to the automotive discussion forum. Which sports car are you? All right. That kind of leads us to our next topic, which is We occasionally hit this thread, Doc, and it's kind of interesting to see what's posted. I haven't seen anything come true yet, but it's really interesting to see people's dreams and predictions.
Yeah, you know, and I thought this was a good choice on your part, Spencer, because we're getting close to the the first of the year, and it's a new year and a new beginning, and everybody's got their New Year's resolutions, and nobody's going to stick to them, So we're beginning a new year, and this is kind of interesting. It's from Slayer 69, and it's my predictions for 2009. You want to take this one away, Spencer?
Sure, you bet. It was posted at the 1st of December, and it goes like this. With all the hype these days about one prediction or another, whether from a mystic or a web computer, either way, I say it's bunk. Let's see if people get any of these right. Let's see how accurate I am in 1 year. So here we go with about 15 different things he predicts. First, oil prices will change in 2009. Safe bet. There will be an earthquake somewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. China will become a superpower or not. The American economy will do something. Uh-huh. The EU will do something with the euro. Russia will do something with Russian. The U.S. will swear in a new president. Wow. Okay. People will be suspicious of government. There will be an armed conflict somewhere in the world. A natural disaster will happen and people will die and get hurt. Something will burn down, a plane will crash, the dollar will change its value, somebody famous will die, and the stock market will do something.
Yeah, and then he asked for us to add our own predictions. I will probably pass gas some point in 2009. I'll put that prediction out there right there.
Yep, we're contributing to global warming, and all it takes is a little broccoli for me, man. And you know what? I have plenty of alternative fuels. I like what R&R Conservative posted right after this thread. I predict this thread will be closed. This forum is for the discussion of published clairvoyant predictions from contemporary psychics and prophets, as well as ancient prophecies and prognostications. This forum is not intended as a venue to post your personal predictions. All right, so you've been spanked. So there you go.
Yeah, but I bet, I bet more of Slayer 69's predictions will come true than any other prediction forum on this thread. That's my prediction for 2009. So what now?
I can tell you what now. We're going to jump off this thread, but stay in the same vein. January 11th, 2009. Cue the dramatic music here.
Dun, dun, dun. Or something. Probably have a better sound clip than what I can produce.
Actually, I found that sound clip. It was on a Johnny Quest, and I gave it to Johnny, which was kind of funny because he was asking me if I had it. So it was actually Johnny's quest to get that audio, and I found it on Johnny Quest. How synergistic is that?
That's very nice. I like that. That's very, very nice.
All right, so I'm going to cue the strange music. Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. All right, this is posted by Brainstorm. January 11th, 2009. Is anyone else having prophetic dreams involving this upcoming date? My dreams always tend to be too cryptic to discern until after the event has happened, but this one actually has given me a date. The rest of the dream involves a water-covered floor in what seems like a church with a large pipe organ in the background with various people and a bear inside. Odd, I know, but like I said, they are cryptic, e.g. 9/11 had to do with bowling. Oh, go figure. I guess the trade centers were bowling pins. I have had this dream at least three times in the last week, for the last few months, actually, and each time it adds another piece. So I've noticed in coincidence that 1-11-9 is the inverse of 9-11-1, so not sure how that fits in. Anyway, maybe circle your calendars or remember I told you so first, whatever it is.
Yeah, and numerologically speaking, it certainly is an interesting number. 1-1-1-2009. Of course, you add the 2 and the 9 together, and you get 11. So that's interesting. That's novel, I would say. As far as the dream is concerned, with the water-covered floor, the large pipe organ, various people, and a bear inside, the bear could certainly represent the stock market, I suspect, to some certain degree. We are in a bearish market, as the people who know stuff about stocks say. And, I would assume maybe we're all in this together, maybe. We're all in the church, and the church is flooding, and there's a bear, and it's scary. I don't know. That's my take on it. Any ideas from you?
I'll have to research this one, Doc. It's got so much symbolism in it, but you know, a lot of times it has to do more with what's going on in our own life or how we interpret those things and how our subconscious is trying to deal with those issues in our mind. And then we relate those with events. Because I'll dream about famous people. I'll be talking with somebody, you know, like an actor or somebody like that, and blah, 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 and talking to them about something or another. And it just, but it has to do with something in my dream. It represents something in my psyche that I'm trying to resolve, which I don't think I've ever resolved. But anyway, enough of that silliness. Let's run down here to a 19 who posts, we're in the midst of a major stock market, bear market, and things just keep getting worse and worse as the corrupt of Babylon have become somewhat transparent. You know, then he goes in to talk about this Madoff guy who actually stole $50 billion from celebrities like Steven Spielberg, a U.S. senator, and all these investors and charity funds, $50 billion. That's incredible. Anyway, skipping from there down to Zyrtec, water in dreams usually signifies emotions. The church and the bear are direct references to spirituality. Christian spirituality equals the church, and the bear signifies a message from spirit in shamanism. The pipe organ also is a signal of a spiritual message as well. I'm guessing the upright pipes in the pipe organ represent a direct conduit down from above to allow the message to come through. It seems the dream may be telling you there's a spirit. There is a spiritual significant message coming that will have a very emotional impact. So that sounds like a pretty good explanation of maybe what's going on.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty relevant analysis of the dream. I think that sounds pretty good to me. I'll buy that. And we'll be back in just a few.
Hello, everyone. This is Homer Fife. My partner, Martin Bain, and I are the hosts of the Above Politics show here on AboveTopSecret.com. Alongside Dave Rabbit, Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock with the BTS Mix. We've worked it out so that all of you can subscribe to each and every one of our shows. Now, on each show thread, you're going to find two shortcuts where, when you click them, we'll whisk you away to a place where you can then download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. And always remember, it's your subscription that helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So join us all and deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. Listen and deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And wake up and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and yours truly, Homer Fife. Be a part of the revolution, a part of the Above Network, LLC.
The BTS Mix Show.
When I saw this, I thought of you.
What?
It's a stripper pole.
Oh? Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
You're listening to the BTS Mix Show with Spencer and Doc.
Welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy along with my friend Doc Hancock.
That is right, and I like the way you said that. It was spunky. It was catchy. I like it.
Well, that's all about the BTS Mix. You know, we love hearing from our members. We love getting your feedback to our shows. And, of course, don't forget, you can also, as we just told you, sign up for the show on RSS feed, or you can subscribe through iTunes besides listening on your computer. There's just a plethora of ways that we can invade your headspace.
That is absolutely right. And speaking of various spaces, this is a relevant topic that keeps popping up on our show. It's the MySpace, Facebook, yada yadas. And this comes in from Thingfish, and once again, our relationships forum, if you can believe it or not. And Thingfish wants to know, have you ever searched out an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend? And people are into the brevity today. Both of these last two threads have had BF and GF. Anyways, I'm thinking about looking up this Serbian girl I used to mess around with in high school. She was a fox, man. Anyway, with the net, I figured I could probably find her and ring her up. Have any of you guys ever reconnected with an old flame using the internet? And of course, isn't that what, you know, MySpace and Facebook and Friendster and whatever the hell else is out on the internet right now? Isn't that what those were basically meant for, so you could stalk people of your past?
Oh, either that or just pretend like you have all these friends, which is, you know, that's what I do. I actually started a new Facebook account. So, Doc, if you're on Facebook, look me up under Spencer Tracy. And, of course, you'll see the BTS Mix logo. I just want to see how many friends I can get. It absolutely means, you know, nothing to me other than I get mental points every time somebody wants to be my friend. I like what what R.F. Burns put up. And R.F. Burns, for those of you who don't know what the reference is, R.F. is radio frequency burns. So that could have, you know, you can actually get R.F. burns if you climbed up a radio antenna. That's why they have the warning sign on it. I'm not sure, but I would say this person probably works in radio at K-Rock's Radio Online. No plugs there, but I'm just saying that's what they've got in their post. I have not, but an old girlfriend did find me after 14 years. Was a nice reunion dinner and a night out. We maintained contact via emails and phone calls since she lives over 700 miles away. So it is kind of a neat way to get in touch with those people that you haven't seen in forever.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta think if things didn't work out too well back in high school. I mean, if you're looking for like a one-night stand thing, you know, you'd probably have better luck in a bar than tracking down someone, you know, 10 years out of your life. And, you know, obviously things maybe didn't go as well as they should have beforehand. So, you know, what's the point?
Oh, I'm loving bass players' posts, though. Yeah, my ex-girlfriend dumped me to chase after her Walmart career. Looked her up online a week ago. The only thing that showed up was a lawsuit she's filed against Walmart for tort.
That's great.
I don't know if that was tart or tort, but, you know, it could be either one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Walmart's big into the tarts and the torts, so we're all set. Going into our breaking general news forum, I thought this was kind of an interesting story, and most of you may have heard about this. This is posted by the all-seeing eye. I as in singular I, letter I. Playboy's Virgin Mary spread. Playboy sorry for nude Virgin Mary. A nude model resembling the Virgin Mary on the cover of the Mexican edition of Playboy magazine, published only days before a major Mexican festival dedicated to the Mother of Jesus, has prompted the company's U.S. headquarters to apologize. So I've seen the cover, and it's definitely a portrayal of the Virgin Mary on the cover of Playboy. And I kind of picked this topic because I wanted to rant a little bit about something. I think what's really crazy right now, what's really silly, and I think this is what's very revealing, particularly about American culture, is that we're being forced, especially with this economy right now. I mean, I work in advertising and I work in marketing, and It never fails to baffle me to what ends people will go to, you know, to get attention and to get, you know, Playboy's in trouble. They said it, their profits are down, you know, things are not good. Apparently they're going to be the first company in the history of the world not to be able to sell sex and make a profit with it. But at any rate, it's one of these situations where they were forced into a corner, so they had to come out and do something very controversial. And because they know that the American people will eat that up. There's no such thing as bad press anymore. Yeah, you know, Playboy releases this big issue. It gets press all over the world. People have to pick up a copy of it because now it's a novelty. So they're going to sell a whole bunch of issues, hopefully reinvigorate, you know, their advertising sales and get their brand back into the forefront of people's minds. And it's like, well, you know, you can't really blame them and you really can't blame people for buying it. But we've created this culture of frenzy where, you know, it's the same thing with this recent thing on SNL right now that everybody's yammering about. You know, one of the characters on SNL made fun of Governor Patterson in New York, who's a blind American. It was you knew that before they did it, they were thinking, man, this is going to cause some controversy, and they needed to bring back, you know, the Sarah Palin days when their ratings were through the roof and everybody was talking about SNL and what was going on with SNL. And it's just kind of sad that, you know, people have to go to these extremes now just to do their craft and to, you know, to kind of stand out from all the millions of other people trying to do the same thing. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, to be forced to do it in those kinds of ways, it's just nuts. And that's my rant for the evening.
Well, and the other thing is they weren't so upset about it that they yanked it off the shelves and asked for a recall. I mean, Playboy understands what they're doing. They had every intention of doing this around the holidays to offend people. But a lot of the posts, people said, well, too bad. And you need to read this thread. If you find that offensive, or if you don't find it offensive, you might be offended by some of the posts because a lot of people said, well, too bad. You know, I think she's hot and da 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 da. But you don't understand that what that represents. For example, Yar Coffin posted, at least they only offended Catholics. All they'll get is a few angry letters. If it was a woman dressed as a Muslim, you know, there would be hell to pay. Magazine shops burned to the ground. Yeah, etc.
Oh, yeah. You know, and again, it really has nothing to do with the subject matter. I mean, I think the intention was pretty transparent to get attention. You know, this was done clearly intentionally. It was done on purpose. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's just, you know, again, it's just my opinion that it's so sad that that businesses have to be brought to this level to make these bold statements, even if they're not cool. You know, I don't think anybody intended to piss anyone off. I think it's just one of those situations where they were forced into a corner. So, you know, well, we'll make fun of religion here with boobies and, you know, that'll get them. You know, and boom, there it was on, you know, all over the wires today, you know, that this happened. And I don't know. I think it's just crazy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if you're right. If you're not right, then Hugh Hefner will be dead in a month. So there you go.
Only one way to find out.
Yep. So we'll be watching him count down the days. Next topic. All right, let's jump over to breaking general news. Burglar. I was held captive by a ghost for 3 days. All right, this is posted by I Am Camouflage, which I've already likened the avatar and the name. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. A burglar broke into a house, claims he was held captive by a supernatural figure for 3 days without food and water, officials said. Police officials think Abdullah Markik Hakim Johar, say that 3 times fast, told the Star newspaper the house owners found the 36-year-old man fatigued and dehydrated when they returned from vacation on Thursday. He says they called an ambulance to take him to the hospital.
Yeah. You know, I have my own little theory as to what happened here. And if you ask me, I can see the scene very clearly. This guy, being an idiot, he was probably high on meth, broke into these people's houses. They, too, smoke meth. He found a giant bag of meth, smoked meth for 2.5 days straight, started hallucinating, thought that he was being held captive by a bunch of ghosts, and then when they came in, he hadn't eaten or had anything to drink in 3 days because he's been smoking meth the entire time. So they called, you know, and said, oh, he's dehydrated, and he was having, you know, he was being held captive, and they both agreed because, you know, the owners of the house didn't want them to know that they had a pound of meth sitting in their house. This is my theory. I think he was just really high.
Well, then we both have the same theory, because instead of meth, I would have said he found the family's hookah pipe. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking too. And the refrigerator was empty. Now,
yeah, you use the hookah pipe to smoke the meth.
I keep seeing people talking to me.
I see dead people.
We're going to start our descent down to the North Pole. We know that you don't have an option when you're traveling to the North Pole, but we sure do appreciate your business, and I really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, oh, oh! We should, you know, kind of run the show out here on a lovely Christmas note, and I dig the style of this thread, and it gave me a nice little chuckle, and it apparently gave Jibeho, I think that's the way it's pronounced, J-I-B-E-H-O, a nice little...
Maybe it's Jib.
Oh.
Jib. Yeah, I think. Jib Beho? Oh, well, I'm not sure exactly if I should pronounce it that way.
Jibe Ho. That's a hoe that likes to jibe. Anywho, oh, better not say that. I almost got into a bunch of trouble for that. Anyways, this was great, and I like the style of this. This is really fantastic. And this is on your local Guardian, which is a UK publication. Have you ever thought of your loved one's perfectly wrapped gift bore the signs of a little professional help? Now Croydon-based Firebox.com has devised a wrapping service so deliberately shoddy, you'll believe that they spent all of those precious seconds lovingly mummifying your presents themselves. The aptly named Crap Wrap ensures your gifts are truly given a personal touch, complete with enough clumsily applied brown duct tape to gag a hostage, ripped paper, and no fancy frills. The company recruited 20 of its male forklift truck drivers and warehouse employees to wrap the presents as badly as possible. So for a small fee, you can go to firebox.com and have your gifts wrapped as crappily as possible and send them to the ones you love. I like that, and I think it's really original. You know, we've gotten into this, you know, every present has to look perfect, and wrapping's now become an art, and, you know, you judge people by the way they wrap your presents. I like this. Just, you know, brown butcher paper, a lot of tape, tears, rips. It's like, here's your gift. I love you. Merry Christmas. I like that. I like that stuff.
Just a little cautionary note. If you were taking your presents to the mall to have them wrapped, now this actually happened here locally with one of our local malls. I won't tell you which one, but they had a wrapping service, and these people would wrap your present for a small donation. Well, it turns out when the people got home with their presents on Christmas Day, they opened it up to a bunch of rocks. So, Needless to say, they paid for getting rocks for Christmas. Either they were really, really bad and Santa switched it out, or these people were crooks. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you have somebody else have possession of your Christmas present, you may get a lump of coal for Christmas.
I'll trust my package with the forklift drivers who are going to crap wrap my presents. I like that.
You're going to trust your package to forklift drivers?
I do every day.
All right, enough of that. It's time now to just about wrap up the show. But first, of course, your chance to win some extra points with the BTS Mix screen test.
Yes, sir, it is time. And I think this is a pretty decent one. I think we'll make this one worth a nice even 5,000 BTS points. And it goes a little something like this. Everyone's favorite fire marshal, this actor has had a comical career, to say the least. Eternally, he'll be known as one of the goofiest characters in Hollywood, no matter what mask he has on. And you can always imagine, like any true man of the craft, he will be around for years to come. Who is this actor?
I don't have this one, Doc. That's a tough one.
Good. Hopefully we can stump our compadres.
All right, good luck. And we want to say a special thanks to Masioka Hiro Nakamura of Heroes for spending some time with us on this edition of the BTS Mix Show.
Yeah, huge. And once again, big ups to Spencer for getting the interview and for working it out. And I'm truly am sorry that I wasn't able to be there for that, because I would have liked to have asked Mr. Oka a few questions. Being an actor myself and being involved with everything, you know, it's really cool and really great work, Spencer. I'm very proud of the BTS Mix Show, and I'm very proud that you are my co-host, so thank you.
Hey, well, don't worry. If you didn't get a chance to talk to him, all he has to do is squint really hard and concentrate, and it'll be tomorrow again.
Awesome. I could go for that, though. I don't want to go through today again, so except for doing the show, which I always have a great time doing.
All right. Well, everybody, have a great holiday and Merry Christmas for this edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Be good to one another. Ho, 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 neighbors.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.